Bit of singing at the start. No, I was going to say on the first day of Christmas, MLPP gave to me. And then you're going to say six, whatever you've got. Six, da 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 da.
Six. Okay.
And then I'm going to drop in the other bits that we've already recorded. By the end of the 12 days, we'll have the full song.
Three? Three?
No, take it away, son.
On the sixth day of Christmas, MLPP gave to me
six punkers wrestling,
five joyous things, four rhyming words,
three lads in Larry arms,
two crusties begging,
the first punk gigs the Dodge Boys went to see.
Welcome, everybody, to the sixth day of Christmas. Yeah, we're still fucking going. Bet you didn't think we could pull it off, did you? Halfway there, as Bon Jovi once said. Obviously, I've got the festive fucker, Nihilism, with me. Hello there, sir.
Hello there, young man. How are you?
I'm okay, yeah.
Day before New Year's Eve. What's the plan?
Oh, well, I don't know. More of these, probably.
Smashing.
Yeah, that's all I need. That's my Radox. And today, for the sixth day of Christmas, we are joined by Oldham's top lad, Danny Barrett, from Off the Crash Mats and a Hello and Hoof podcast, video, radio, chat show, quiz show. How you doing? Am I right?
Hello, love you. All right?
Yeah, all good here. You had a good Christmas up in Oldham.
Oh, yeah, it's been beautiful. Been beautiful. What day is this coming out? Is this the 30th? This is out then.
This is the 30th.
What do you mean? It's the 30th.
We're live
today.
Well, live from the 30th of December. I'm currently live at the Bank Top, setting up a big gig. Snatch Game are playing, Clayface are playing, the Crash Mats are on, Broken Three Ways. Could be a good night. There's a lot more on. I can't remember the names at the minute, but yeah, it's going
to
be a good night.
Well, as soon as people listen to this, they can get a fucking that, can't they?
Exactly. Exactly.
Or you could be playing this over the PA before it starts.
Well, hey, even better.
Easy. Come on. Right, so you have brought with you, in case people didn't hear it from the beautiful singing at the start, six punkers wrestling, right?
Yes, yes. So what I've got is three interesting facts about punk rockers involved in wrestling, and then I've got three punk rock songs about wrestlers.
That's just so good.
I've combined two things I love into a thing.
It's literally all your Christmases rolled into one.
Exactly, exactly.
On this one Christmas.
On this one Christmas day.
So tell us your first fact then. Let's get this show on the road.
The first fact I'm going to drop on you is this, right? In the 1930s and 40s, there was a wrestler from Boston called Dr. John Murphy. Now, he invented a wrestling move called the dropkick, and he was then nicknamed John Dropkick Murphy, and that is where the band the Dropkick Murphys get their name from. So there you go. There's my first interesting wrestling punk rock factoid for y'all.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. So it's his fault, is it?
Mm-hmm. That's where they get the name from. Yeah. So he actually invented the move and like perfected it and everything like that. Dropkick is basically where you jump off both your legs and kick person with both your legs.
And usually in the chesticles.
Indeed. And he was big in Boston. He was a big wrestler in the Boston area in the 30s and 40s. And, he got nicknamed. He was a natural doctor. He opened a sanatorium, I think, after he stopped wrestling.
Got to have a plan B.
Yeah. Can't wrestle forever.
Nope.
You're not Ric Flair. He was an actual doctor, so Dr. John Murphy, and his nickname was Dropkick, so it was Dropkick Murphy, and that's where they got the name from. So yeah,
fantastic.
There you go.
That is a well good fact. And to be honest, I really anticipated you, like Niall, going, "Oh, I already knew that."
No, did not know that.
How long did he live? How long was his sanatorium a success? Well, I need to know more.
That went on into the 70s. So I think he died in the early 80s, but his sanatorium went on for a long time, and he was sort of known in the Boston area more for that in the end, running that and everything. It's quite well run, apparently, by all accounts. But yeah, the band got the name from his wrestling days because he invented the move.
And if you didn't pay your bills, you knew what was going to fucking happen to you. Bosh.
Yeah.
Please, Doctor, I've been made redundant. Stand against these ropes.
I tell you what, though, I bet the physio were good there.
Oh, God. All right, well, what a start. What a start. Niall, do you have any follow-up questions about the long life of John Dropkick Murphy in his sanatorium?
Not as of yet, but if he's got a wiki article, I'm going to be balls deep in that at the end of this episode.
You're on it, mate. Honestly, it's a good read. It's a nice, interesting read.
Well, fuck me. I'm going to hazard a guess at what the song is. In fact, no, I'm not. I'm going to let you.
No, well, I've not picked a Dropkick song.
Good.
Because they've not done one about a wrestler. So what I've done is I've gone for the first song I'll pick is Anti-Scene's song, Sabu.
Anti-Scene there with Sabu.
Homicidal, elaborate. Genocidal, suicidal.
Homicidal.
He ticks them all off. Ticks all the boxes.
And I'm going to assume that Sabu was a wrestler of some description.
Yeah, well, Anti-Scene did a full album. It's a compilation album, but they released it, I think, early 2000s. And it's all their songs about wrestling or wrestlers. And it's a fucking brilliant album. It's one at best. So yeah, Anti-Scene released this album. It's called False Count Anywhere. And it's just songs about wrestling that are in a hardcore punk rock style that I quite enjoy. So check that out.
Fucking well. Listen, you need to tell us your second fact. Can it top John Dropkick Murphy in the sanatorium?
Well, I'm going to try. But listeners of the podcast may have heard this one before, but I don't care. I tried hard to pick out three punk rock wrestling facts, and I could only pick two that I've not shared on the show before. So I'm going to do this one. The Misfits wrestled for WCW in the late 90s. All four of them got into the ring at one point, but Jerry only had two matches and actually bought a ring and put it up in his back garden, thinking he was going to become a professional wrestler, but actually only ever had two matches. And at one point, he tried to sue WCW because he thought that they were going to try and steal the Misfits brand from him and give it to a professional wrestler called Vampiro, who had never sung or played bass in his life and had no intention to, just wanted to wrestle. But yeah, so the Misfits wrestled in WCW in the late 90s, which I still think is mind-blowing.
What level of paranoia do you have to have to make Jerry something
Emily level?
Make something up in your head and litigate in advance of it, even anyone thinking of it.
I was thinking of you guys the other day. I was in Manchester. I was in Forbidden Planet, and I was just having a look around Forbidden Planet, and I was looking at some of the like action figures and whatnot, and they've got these big ones at the end, and it was all like aliens and predators. And then right at the very end was the Misfits Fiend collectible edition action figure. And I opened up the box and looked at it, and it was like the Fiend figure with three different heads, a candelabra, and a couple of different hands, and then like Misfits posters you could put up behind it. And it was just that he'll put his fucking name on anything, this lad. He'll stick that logo on fucking anything. The Misfits action figures. Fucking brilliant.
And, and they've made an action figure of something, again, that is a drawing.
Well, it's from a film, isn't it? The Crimson Ghost, I think,
yeah,
in the film. So they've nicked that and made an action figure out of it now. Like, what? Do you own that? I don't think you do, lads.
You dicks. Right.
Yeah. Anytime we can rag on Jerry Only is always fun.
It's a good pastime, isn't it?
It is. It's very fun.
You know he's fucking minted, so he's not sad or anything. He's got a rusty wrestling ring in his garden. Probably turned it into a trampoline for the grandkids, probably.
Yeah, I hope you're having a shit Christmas, Jerry.
I guess that takes us nicely into punk rock wrestler's song number two, doesn't it?
Number two, indeed, yes. So, number two, I've gone for Nightbirds, Maimed for the Masses, which is a song about the professional wrestler Mick Foley. And it's just a fucking shit. I love Nightbirds. I think they're a really good band. And
R.I.P.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's dead?
Nightbirds. They're no longer going.
I thought Mick Foley had died then.
Oh, God, no. We wouldn't be here if that was the case.
Yeah, I know.
Touch wood. He's okay. He's all the old makers. But yeah, Nightbirds, Maimed for the Masses. Let's go with that one.
So
Nightbirds, maimed for the masses. Well, I'm going to assume it's a tribute to him jumping off shit onto drawing pins and stuff like that.
Pretty much, yeah, jumping off cages and jumping off 30-foot high steel cages into the ring on a bed of thumbtacks.
Mad bastard. Was that... Mad. Obviously, when we were at school,
yeah,
we used to debate whether that was real or not. And then I started kissing girls and that, so I stopped caring. But was it real?
Yeah, the guy's tooth was like lodged in his fucking nose.
Yeah, if you see his ear,
can't fake that.
Look, his ear got ripped off in a wrestling ring because the ropes—they're not actually ropes; it's steel cables wrapped with duct tape and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was wrestling against Vader in Germany, and he does this move where he grabs the middle rope and the top rope and puts his head between the two, flips his body over, and then struggles. Looks like it's hanging himself through the ropes.
It's usually quite safe.
Yeah. Vader came over and hit him on the top of the head to push him through the ropes. As he's gone through the ropes, he slid, and because it's cable and steel cable, they used lift cables. Because it was so tight, it sawed off his ear. So if you look at Mick Foley, he's not got like a full top of his ear anymore. He's got like just a nub.
So his man did him a favour by sort of boshing him through the ropes.
Well, the thing was, like, he'd done this move hundreds and hundreds of times before. I believe it was in Germany, and one of the wrestlers had said the ropes aren't tight enough. So unbeknownst to our hero, Mrs. Foley's baby boy, Mick, they actually tightened the ropes a bit too much for our Mick.
Bit too much, yeah. So
he practiced with a certain level of slackness, but when the event rolled around,
yeah,
that German efficiency kicked in and they cranked it up.
Someone has done a bit of jerk technique on the ropes.
I highly recommend reading both his autobiographies. They're, even if you're not into wrestling, they're so well written.
Yeah, he's
perfect. Why has he got two? I know Bellends like Katie Price do like five before they're 30, but I think Mick's got a bit more about him than that.
I think
probably
his first one sort of only took him up to so far into his WWE career.
All right, okay. That's
fair. And then the second one is just sort of mainly focused on a period in his WWE career sort of thing. And then the ones after that are just sort of like moments in time. He's done one called the Hardcore Diaries, and that was sort of a moment in time sort of thing. Like in some of them are quite interesting. Like yeah. His first one's really good. Yeah.
Perfect. Right. Time's up against us. So what is your third and final punk rock
third fact? And final fact for you all. Husker Du guitarist Bob Mould wrote wrestling scripts for WCW in 1999. And he was also worked at what's called the gorilla position. And so he was the last person wrestlers would see before he went out to the ring. And he did that for around 9 months and was quite good at it.
What's the function of a gorilla?
So it's called the gorilla position where, like, you get ready to go out and do your entrance.
So he's like the fluffer of...
Yeah, so he's like, right, this is what you need to do. You need to do this here now at this time and don't forget to get this at the end.
So it's the final little... The final little rundown. Remember, Jeff, you're losing here.
He wrote the scripts for it as well. Like, one of the wrestlers was asked a few years ago about this. He said, like, you know, why did you have a dude who was a touring musician and guitarist, not like, right? Why was he writing the wrestling and not writing, the music for the band, for the wrestlers or anything like that? And he just said, well, that's WCW in a nutshell for you. We didn't have a fucking clue what we're doing at the best of times.
I've got these really bespoke skills that have brought me a lot of success. Can I use them? Nah.
But we're going to have you do something completely different instead. But he apparently he's a lifelong fan, his old Bob, Mr. Mould, from Husker Du. So he loved it. And he still talks about it to this day, sorry, should I say. He wrote the scripts basically for it and wrote out, planned out sections and bits of the show. And yeah, he really enjoyed it.
Good. Fair play to him.
Yeah, fair play to it, lad. Combining two things he loves, like what we have been doing here today.
It's all so serendipity-dippitous, isn't it? Really is.
And on the shit end of the scale, you've got a Smashing Pumpkin running a wrestling promotion, a large wrestling promotion.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
So Billy Corgan runs something called the NWA. Not that one. The National Wrestling Alliance.
I was going to say, I don't think he fits the criteria for the first one. No. For a number of reasons. One in particular.
So, he's had some interesting choices for people who are his.
You say run it, like, as in it's his baby. He's the Vince McMahon of that.
Yeah, he's the owner and operator of the National Wrestling Alliance. He's now one Mr. William Corgan.
An organization that predates the WWE / WWF.
Yeah, by some years. I think he started in like the 20s.
I bet John Dropkick Murphy was all big into...
He probably was NWA champion at some point. Northeast NWA champion.
Didn't think he liked fun stuff enough to do something like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, he is an odd choice. Like, there is a couple of odd choices. Like, I was going to mention there's a couple of wrestlers who are in bands, but some of the bands are a bit... They claim to be punk, but they're not punk. They're metal bands. Like, Every Time I Die, they're a metal band. And, what's the other one? What's Brody King's band called now?
I Hate God.
They're a metal band as well. What's she called? I can't remember her name. Her name's blanking on me now. But she's in a band called the Lucha Goers. What's that? What's she called from WWE now? Edge's missus. Or was Edge's missus?
Lita.
She's the lead singer in a band called the Lucha Goers. Now,
yeah, they played in Derby a few years ago.
Yeah, they're not my cup of tea, but, you know, you might enjoy them. You check them out. You know, they're a bit poppy punky for me, but there you go.
Look, you might do. Billy Corgan just trying to do some planning of some... Yeah, I just can't get my head around it.
It is a bizarre one, isn't it?
Obviously Chris Jericho's band Fozzy, who have played in an Eton a couple of times, actually.
I went to Wembley to watch AEW in the summertime, and they did a surprise song entrance for Chris Jericho, like Ozzy performed, and he tried to do the Freddie Mercury bits at the start of his entrance. It was that point. I need to go to the toilet here and have a 20-minute piss break. Find some corner of Wembley Stadium where I can sneak a fag.
do such places exist in Wembley?
No, they do not. There's security everywhere in that place.
Bastards. Right. Wow. That's some real mind blowing facts you've accumulated there. I'm genuinely impressed.
There you go. You know, you come to me for the factoids and the information.
We get it. We fucking
every
get
time.
It.
Every time.
Right. So we got the last song that's going to play us out, which is another punk rock song about a wrestler.
Exactly. And I thought...
What's it going to be?
Who else could I, Danny Barrett, turn to for a punk rock song about a wrestler? So I looked in my own back garden and I thought, I'll choose the Crash Mats, Terry Funk Forever. This is a song about Terry Funk. And he died this year. So RIP, Mr. Terry Funk, the most hardcore of all hardcore things.
That was kind of our fault as well, wasn't it?
It kind of was our fault, yeah. Me and Niall have a podcast called Half the Brain, by the way, everybody. And if you like punk rock and wrestling, you should listen to that.
It's the place for you, isn't it?
Exactly. It is. It's the number one place for all your punk rock and wrestling needs. We did an episode about death in wrestling. And at the end of it, we said, well, at least Terry Funk's not dead. That's fine.
Oh, no.
And the minute we pressed stop on the record, I think the news came out that Terry Funk had died. So
no more death episodes.
There's no more episodes about death anymore.
The curse of half the brain.
Exactly.
So if you've got a wrestler you really hate and you wish they'd die, give not on Danny a shout.
Well, the December episode's going to be a good one because we've got... we're having a big quiz, so there's going to be Martin Battle and Simon from the Seabin podcast there on one team. Dickie from Shackleford and Dickie from Be Fair.
The Dickies.
The Dicks. They're one team. And then Niall and Jordan from Pod Punk podcast are going to be a team as well. Filthy Rich, whatever they are. I can't remember their team name. But it's going to be good. So that's December's episode anyway. So there you go.
Perfect. Keep your eye out for that.
Exactly.
It's Terry Funk Forever. Will you send me the file of that one, please?
Yeah, I will do. Yeah.
I ain't paying a quid on that for that.
Nah. From the Double Cross Ranch in Amarillo, Texas, weighing 260 pounds. Three, four. What a visa!